Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogotá. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogotá, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
Thanks for this morning. We give thanks for the opportunity to come to you, to come into your presence, to hear your words and to praise you. We give thanks for your word, Father, because often we wander around going in the wrong directions, and we need your law and your instruction to bring us back to the path that you want for us. Help us, Father, to understand the things that are often confusing. Help us to understand that what we read on a page often has a deeper and broader meaning. So we pray for your Holy Spirit to open our minds and our hearts and to convict us where we need convicted, but give us comfort where we need comfort. And we pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 3 points today. What does this commandment mean? What does this commandment expect of us? And what does this commandment point to? What does this commandment mean? What does this commandment expect of us? And what does this commandment point to? Many of us have grown up in families where our parents were married and have a loving relationship. And many of us have grown up in Christian households where we were instructed in the ways of the Lord. But many of us grew up in dysfunctional homes or even broken homes. Perhaps your parents were present, but the environment was so dysfunctional it didn't feel like a home. Perhaps some of you grew up as a single parent in a single parent family, where one of your, either your father or your mother, was absent, and the parent that you did have struggled to bring you and your siblings up. Perhaps you grew up in care, or you're adopted. Perhaps you're neglected, or you're abused in its many different forms. God, we have to remember this, that God did not create the family to be like that. But as we know in the beginning, if we go back to chapter 3 of Genesis, sin came into the world, and throughout every generation on earth since the fall, sin has been running rampant, and that sin often runs rampant into the family home where it comes to a head. Satan wants nothing more than to destroy the very things that God gave us and created that bring us growth and flourishment. Right now he's doing a pretty good job. The chain of sin from generation to generation gradually eats away at relationships until we see the one of the most important relationships in God's people being destroyed, the relationship between children and their parents. And like all of God's commandments in a world that is lost and is in decay, it points us back to the one thing that we should be focusing on. In a world where the family is falling apart, this commandment offers some good news. The importance of Christian family and the way we should live in community. The foundation of a society and how functional it is what the families are like in that society. Go into any neighbourhood and what happens in that neighbourhood will be a reflection of what happens in the households of that neighbourhood. If the families are broken, there's a good chance that brokenness will permeate throughout the neighbourhood, and that neighbourhood will be broken. And it will continue from generation to generation until that chain is broken. But it's easy to honour a father and mother when you grow up in a safe, secure and loving environment. But how do you honour parents when you grow up in an environment that is dysfunctional and broken? When the ones that were responsible for your care and upbringing fall short and are often the cause of the pain and misery that you have to endure in life. So why did God put us into families? It's because God is a relational God. We see that in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all working in harmony. God created us to be relational beings. We all have to be part of some relationship. And when we are deprived of that relationship and physical contact with others, like a plant that hasn't been watered or hasn't seen light for a while, we start to wither away. That is why we have solitary confinement in prisons or in our own homes. It's called the naughty spot. When we are by ourselves without contact and relationships with others, we're cut off. We become isolated. And as human beings, we become nothing because we're not connected to other people. We're all created to be part of something greater. The commandments, whether they be our duty to God or the duty to our neighbour, tell us how we should conduct our lives. They set a pattern for God's people. In the first commandment, God is setting the pattern that we should have no other gods. He is our God and we are his people. In this context, children learn what authority is and they learn to obey. In the same way that we are to recognise and abide by our heavenly authority, we are to recognise and abide by our earthly authorities. And that starts in the home with our parents. So what does this word mean, to honour? In the UK, every year we have the annual honours list, where people from all walks of life are recognised for their outstanding achievement and service to the country in the arts, science, charity and public service. They're chosen by the government and then they're invited to Buckingham Palace to visit the King or Prince William. And there, they have a sword placed on their shoulder, they're given a medal, and they are given the title of Sir or Dame. I'm not sure these people are honoured by the UK government, or the King, or the Prince, but they're at least recognised for their contribution to society. John Calvin explained the concept of honour to include three things: reverence, obedience, and gratitude. So what is reverence? Reverence is something that comes from the heart. People in their natural state do not revere God. Only those who have been touched and transformed by the Holy Spirit revere God. And as we learn about God through his word and through his Holy Spirit, we become more humble towards God and we walk and we're more reverent towards God in both worship and the way we live. What about obedience? Who are you obedient to in your life? We're not going to be obedient to someone we do not respect. What is the posture of someone when they respect someone? They are respectful. They are attentive. They listen. They learn. They respond. They are willing to respond and act differently based on what they hear from the one they respect. They are willing to remain respectful even if they disagree. What about gratitude? What is gratitude? It's being thankful and showing appreciation for a kindness that is done towards us. And in response, we return that kindness. No matter what life you have grown up with, there's always little episodes in your life that you remember and that you're more grateful for. Perhaps someone helped you in a time of need, or someone did something kind to you. That is something we should show gratitude for and offer some kindness in return. So honour, according to Calvin, is being reverent and obedient to those who have authority over us and showing appreciation for any kindness that is done to us. But even if you don't agree with someone, you should still be respectful. And just because someone has authority over you, if what they're telling you goes against the will of God in your life, we can respectfully disobey. So that's the meaning of honour. What do we mean when we say mother and father in this commandment? So as with all the commandments, this is very broad. It's much deeper than what we read on a page. And the words father and mother certainly mean what they mean on this page. That is, our mother and father. But they're often used in a much more broader context throughout Scripture. In the book of Judges, it says that Deborah arose as the mother of Israel. And when David had the chance to kill Saul, he addressed him as father. But it's even broader. So it's useful to go back to a catechism if you want a broader meaning of something. And Heidelberg Catechism says this about the fifth commandment: that I show all honour, love and faithfulness to my father and mother and to all those in authority over me, Submit myself with due obedience to their good instruction and discipline, and also have patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. So we see here it goes beyond our father and our mother and stretches to other family members who have authority over us, as well as our teachers, our bosses, law enforcement, government, and rulers. Whether you like your president or not, God has put them in place to rule over you. He has put systems in place to ensure that society continues in a civilized manner and doesn't destroy itself. Romans 13:1 says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." Other scriptures tell us to obey our church leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. Wives, submit to your husbands as fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And if that makes you uneasy that someone has authority over you, the Bible also tells us to pray for these people. And the reason, so that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. So whatever your political leaning, you're going to have to go home tonight and pray for Petro or Trump. Yeah. All of us are under some authority, and all of us have or will have authority over someone else at some stage in our life. So what does this mean? It means that when we are relating to others, if we dishonour them, then we are dishonouring God and breaking the fifth commandment. When we hear the word authority, we tend to categorise people as superior or inferior. But that doesn't mean that some people have more worth than others. When God created everything, he thought it best that some should have more authority over others than others. Everyone has been given gifts. We all have different gifts that can be used for the Lord's work, to build his church and his kingdom. Everyone in your household has been given gifts, and when they are used together to complement each other, they benefit the whole. And most importantly, when used properly, they give glory not to us, but to God. So what does this commandment expect of us? We know what it means, but what does it expect of us in our daily lives? What are some practical tips that you can take away to make sure you're living out this commandment? I've got a few things from various sources, so let me go through them. Number one, we honour our parents when we forgive them. The first thing we need to remember when considering our relationships with others is that no one is perfect. A marriage is two sinners coming together with the task of producing more sinners. All these sinners then live together in a confined space, all trying to make it work, as we discovered during the pandemic. No one knows how to parent properly or how they're going to react when they become a parent. Parents make mistakes. They say and do things that are wrong, as do the children. And as parents, we all fall short of what is expected for our children. We probably all have issues in our lives that, if we dig deep enough, will point back to the relationship we had with our parents. Some of us take years to get over the trauma, and some people never get over the trauma. So how do we honour parents who have fallen short and even hurt us? How do we honour parents when we hate them for what they have done to us? Whether our parents just irritate us, embarrass us, or we are trying to work through the hurt they have caused us, we do what Jesus did. We offer grace and forgiveness. How many years will you carry the pain that you've been carrying because of your parents? How many years we allow it to hold you back? How long we allow it to have a detrimental effect on your marriage and relationship with your children? What did Jesus say when he was dying on the cross? "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Even after he was arrested, ridiculed, beaten, and nailed to a cross. Just before he gave up his life, he forgave those who caused him pain and suffering. The act of forgiveness has many benefits, one of them being it can help you to heal, recover, and be free from the burden of the pain that has been done to you. Matthew 6, it says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And it can be hard to forgive. Remember that even when you didn't deserve grace, God came alongside you and showed you his grace and forgave you of your sins. Number two, we honour our parents when we speak well of them. We can honour and dishonour people in how we speak to them or about them. The Old Testament tells us that if we dishonour our parents through speech or through physical harm, we dishonour them and violate the fifth commandment. What kind of tone do we use when we speak to our parents? Are we impatient or are we harsh with them? Do we huff and puff and roll our eyes? In all circles of daily living, we need to honour our parents when we speak about them, whether it's in their company or in the company of others. We shouldn't be spending our time complaining about our parents in front of an audience. We shouldn't be hanging out our dirty washing in public, but praising our parents often. Number three, we honour our parents when we think highly of them. Do you hold your parents in high regard? How often do you sit down with your parents and ask them or tell them all the good that they have done in your life? How often do you thank your parents for the upbringing and teaching they gave you that you benefited from and you're passing on to your own children? Even if we grow up with the worst parents possible, there's always something we can focus on that is good, an experience or memory that we can latch onto. We all know that being recognised for something we have done brings joy and warmth. So let us take that to our parents and remind them of the efforts they put in and how that had an effect on you. Joel Beakey tells a story of his parents' 50th wedding anniversary. He and his siblings all wrote letters to their parents thanking them for something, but neither of them consulted with each other before writing their letters. All five of them thanked their mother for her prayers, and all five of them thanked their father for his leadership of Sunday evening family worship. There is always something to latch on to. Even if all the other years were pain and suffering, there's always something good that happened over those years. Number four, we honour our parents by listening to their counsel. Proverbs 20:29 says, "The glory of a young man is their strength, but the splendour of old men is their grey hair." Proverbs 1:8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." And Proverbs 4:1, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight." We all walk a path that many others have not walked. You may have, or your parents may have walked a path that others may never have to walk in their lives. Our experiences should not be wasted, but used to help others. How many times have we spent time stressing about certain situations in our lives, only to be given the answer and guidance from someone who has walked that path before us? After much hard work and pain, they discovered the solution, and you have access to that solution, and you're able to avoid that pain. Good parents and bad parents both have life experiences, and no one goes through life without trying to overcome obstacles. We can honour our parents by leaning on them for wisdom and guidance. How good does it feel when someone comes to you for advice and you're able to offer it? How good must it feel for a parent when a child comes to them for guidance and are able to go away with the understanding? Number five, we honour our parents by supporting their needs. We were all born naked and defenceless, unable to feed ourselves or look after ourselves. Our parents take care of every need we have. They train us to be independent, and eventually we're able to look after ourselves. But as we grow older, the ones that looked after us start to grow old and eventually need someone else to look after them, to feed them, to clothe them, and take care of their needs. Where our parents looked after us as babies, we then have a duty to look after them when they grow old. When that time comes, look at it as a blessing rather than a burden. It's a beautiful thing to look after someone who is sick or dying, especially when that relationship has been strained over the years. As Christians, we need to be there at the end for those who were with us at the beginning. One of the ways we can support our parents is to provide for them financially. Raising children isn't cheap. If you're a parent, you know that, which is why many people these days choose not to have kids. It's only right then, after all the sacrifice, that when children grow up and become financially better off, that they help their parents financially. When our parents become old or widowed, we as children need to look after them. The Bible commands us to look after the needs of our families. 1 Timothy 5 says, "Honour widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God." And it says, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." This commandment is also reciprocal. Parents need to ensure that they're looking out for their own children. Parents need to love their children, pray for them, instruct them, give them counsel, and reward them when they do well. Disciplining them when it is needed, and providing for their physical and spiritual needs. Ephesians 6 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." This is what God intended when he created the family. And when that model is lived out, it points to something greater, which is my third and final point. What does this commandment point to? So the commandment says, "Honour your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Now that was the first part of the commandment, but now we look at the second part. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 that this is the first commandment with a promise. He says that if you honour your father and your mother, then your days will be long in the land. Now we all know that some of us will die young and some of us will die old. And it doesn't matter if we honoured our parents or not, every one of us is going to die either old or young. But if you do honour your father and your mother, then there's blessings. People who have a good relationship with their parents often have a much better and happier life. We all know this. If any of us have had a strained relationship with our parents, it constantly eats away at you because it is so fundamental and opposite to how we are meant to live. We long for relationships, especially healthy ones, and even more so when the ones who brought us into this world, when our primary relationship in life falls apart, we also fall apart. So what does it mean? What does this mean? Certainly, in this time, it meant that people would be blessed with a long life in the land that the Lord had given them if they obeyed his commandments. They would become a light to the nations, a people that submit to God's laws and strive to follow the path he has set for them through his law, live a life that has blessings, joy, peace, contentment, and abundance. James tells us, he says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." We all go through periods of our life where God feels distant. And sure, God does draw back from us at times to help us grow. But often, when we feel we're not close to God, it's because we have drawn away from God. The same thing happens in family relationships. As we grow, it's often us children who spend less time visiting our calling, our parents, especially when we're in our teenage years, our young adulthood. We have other things that seem like more fun. And certainly, when we marry and leave home, we leave our parents and begin a family of our own. There's a change in who we're obligated to. It was once our parents, but once we leave, it becomes our husband or our wife. But parents always think about their children. They lay in bed at night worrying about their children, and they're always happy to see them and serve them when the opportunity arises. When we choose not to follow God's law, in this case, honour our father and our mother, we are breaking a commandment that God has put in place for a reason. He knew the importance of maintaining a relationship with our parents. When that relationship is broken, it affects all of our relationships. If we don't get that one right, then we'll struggle with all our relationships with our neighbours. We need to honour our parents, respect them, revere them, and be submissive to them if what they ask is in accordance with what God has said. We learn this lesson from Jesus. Remember the story when Jesus, when he was 12, his parents went up to Jerusalem for the Passover, and on their way back, they realized that Jesus wasn't there. They thought he was with the crowd that they were traveling with. So they traveled back to Jerusalem to find him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple amongst the teachers, listening and asking them questions. And Luke 2 says, "And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.' And he said to them, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?' And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them." And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Jesus, the Son of God, our Lord and Saviour, was submissive to his parents. He honoured his parents and did what is asked of him. But although he was submissive to his mother and his earthly father, Joseph, he was also submissive to the work that was expected of him by his Father in heaven. And that work was to save his people from their sins by willingly taking on sin and nailing it to the cross. And through his blood that was shed on the cross, the sin that he took upon himself, my sin and your sin, would be washed away. That is honour. That is the only way for us to be blessed with an abundant life, not only in this life, but in the next. Everything we do in this life should be for one reason: to honour and glorify God. 1 Corinthians says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." A question we should continually be asking ourselves as we go through life: is what I am thinking, saying, or doing giving glory to God? If it isn't giving glory to God, then we should ask ourselves the question, why am I doing it? I read something the other day, and I couldn't find it when I was writing this, so I'll try to explain it and leave you with this thought. Some people are hard to care for in love. We all know this. They're in our families. They could be in this church. They could be in our workplace. They're everywhere we go. Some people are just hard to care for in love. But if we try to persevere and try to go through the motions of caring for someone, even though it might push us to our limits, something strange will start happening to us. Through the act of caring and serving, we start to care for that person and start to love them. That's what we need to start doing: serving, caring, and loving people, even when we think they don't deserve it. We need to do it because it is what Jesus did. We need to lead a life of selflessness and sacrifice, just as Jesus did. We need to do it because it was done for us, and just like us, it might just lead someone to know Jesus, where they will meet their Creator and their Savior. Amen. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the ministry of UCB, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.